the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott. I'm sitting in for Bob Inyart. He's off today, and for the next couple of days, he's traveling the country with his wife, a well-deserved time. I have some pretty disturbing things to tell you today. First, we're going to have a visitor join us in a few minutes, but until the visitor joins us, I need to talk to you about this guy named Fagan from Massachusetts. He's a state rep in Massachusetts from Taunton, Massachusetts, and he's a trial lawyer. And they're trying to pass Jessica's Law in Massachusetts, which would require that a child molester gets a minimum of 15 years for the first offense, and then a repeat offender would get 20 years minimum. So that sounds pretty good to me. I mean, if you're not going to shoot him and you're going to have to put him in jail, 15 years is a good start, right? Well, listen to what I'm going to have our producer play this little soundbite for you. This guy is against Jessica's Law, and I want you to hear what he said he's going to do to the children when they're on the stand. Can you play that for me, please?
And I'm going to rip them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined. That when they're 8 years old, they throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 years old, they'll have nightmares, and they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And that's not because I'm a nice guy. That's because when you are in court and you are defending somebody's liberty and you are facing a mandatory sentence of those draconian proportions, you have to do every single thing you can do on behalf of your client. That is your oath and obligation as a trial lawyer.
This guy is a monster. This guy is an absolute monster. For him to be able to say something like that about a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 19-year-old, never have a normal life, it's just unbelievable that he would talk about ripping a child up on the witness stand, a child that's already been abused by a rapist. He's going to make sure they never can have a normal relationship again in their lives. And then he calls it draconian. Draconian. That's the only time he's going to defend his client, if it's a draconian sentence. Unbelievable that he would talk like that about a poor little kid that's been molested by some child molester. He doesn't defend his clients unless he doesn't like the sentence. Is that what he's saying? You know, if the sentence were 3 weeks, oh, well, let him take the 3 weeks. I don't have to go to work. What in the world is this guy talking about? Let's play it. I want you to hear it one more time. Let's play it.
And I'm going to rip them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined. That when they're 8 years old, they throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 years old, they'll have nightmares, and they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And that's not because I'm a nice guy. That's because when you are in court and you are defending somebody's liberty and you are facing a mandatory sentence of those draconian proportions, you have to do every single thing you can do on behalf of your client. That is your oath and obligation as a trial lawyer.
That's right, Representative Fagan. You are not a nice guy. You are a maniac. You're going to go after a little child like that on the stand? If I had to go before you in a trial and I had a six-year-old and you were going to do that to my child, I would do everything in my power to get you thrown out of that courtroom. I just think it's absolutely ludicrous that this man was elected in Massachusetts and that he's not thrown out of his seat today after such a horrible state, the statements that he made. He's from Taunton, Massachusetts, Representative Fagan. Well, we might get back to this later, but right now I have a guest in studio with me. I have a very famous guest in studio with me today. It's none other than Mr. Fancy Schmancy Home Improvement himself, Brian Inyart.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's great. You know, I wanted to have you because we went together, along with about 10 other people, to the Gay Pride Parade this past Sunday, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
and it was an experience.
I would say an experience of a lifetime for me. You asked me to go with you a couple weeks ago, and I said that I would. And as the date approached, I began to become a little bit nervous about it. And then, especially when we met and we were on our way down there, as Ken was telling me about the parade, I began to feel like we were going to go into a battle. That's what I began to feel, like we were going to go into a battle. And I knew there were going to be 10 or 20 of us, and there were going to be somewhere upwards of 200,000 of them. And we were going to confront them, confront their sin, and get in their face. And some of us in a nice way, and some of us in a more harsh way, we were going to tell them that they were in need of repentance, a savior, and what they were doing was downright evil. And so going in there was scary.
It is. It's scary when you're walking in. But I've noticed over the years that as you go to these things, the apprehension is worse than what happens. Because when you get there and you're doing what God wants you to do, you have the peace of the Holy Spirit with you. And you're calm and you're just able to maneuver through the situation, giving God's word to people who don't necessarily want to hear it, right? Is that what happened to you?
Oh, they loved to hear what we had to say to them. They were so excited. It was interesting, and I'd like to tell you some of the personal experiences and some of the dialogue that I had with some of them, and it was quite interesting. But after getting in position, we were in front of a Catholic church, and after getting in position, I actually wasn't a part so much of the parade. I stood back with some of the guys that had the bigger signs, and we were dealing with the passersby.
Right.
And so we ended up getting to converse with some of the people. Believe it or not, we did have some interesting and beneficial conversations, but that was by far the least. Most of the people were very angry at us, confrontational. Some people spit at us. They were squirting us. They were throwing things at us. They were actually throwing punches at some of our women protesters. Mm-hmm. We had hecklers. So it was a circus. It was a circus. It was just like, I would say, being in Sodom, present-day Sodom, if it existed, and just watching what was going on. And it was quite a... You know, I wouldn't recommend people bringing their children down there.
Oh no!
But if you're a Christian and you want to make a difference, I mean, I'm already planning what signs I'm going to have down there next year.
So, Brian Enya, what did your sign say?
Well, I had a choice of a couple different signs, and I think that I chose one that was fairly mild compared to some of them. Mine said, "Jesus died for you."
Wow.
And boy, people became so offended. You would have thought my sign was the most offensive thing you had ever seen or heard, because we had so many people swearing at us. And, you know, and I asked them, "Why are you so angry?" A person next to me had a sign that said, "Repent." I said, "Why do these signs make you and the people here so angry?" I said, "I'm a Christian. I look at that. It says repent. I say, amen, repent."
Yeah, so
I'm
what
glad
did they
I
say?
Repented. They said these signs are offensive to us. Well, some of the signs were a bit more, let's say they were much more harsh. The harshest sign of the group that we had, one of the fellows had a sign that said, "Homos are filthy perverts." And when I first saw that, I said, wow, that's pretty rough. That's in their face. That is in their face. Of the 15 signs we had, that was the one that was, I would say, really in their face and harsh. And I, along with a couple of other bigger guys, we stood next to a fellow named Robin White, who had the boldness to hold that sign. So if I wasn't supposed to say Robin, I apologize. So... but most of the signs were more in the light of like repent of your sins. Jesus died for you. Jesus saves.
Mine said, "Love Jesus, not sin."
But yeah.
Brian, I think the fact that we called homosexuality a sin, not a lifestyle, not you know, what they want it to be called is what made them angry. Is that what they told you?
Well, I could tell you some of the personal dialogue that I had with some of the people that really sticks out in my head. Many of the people told us that we didn't belong there. It was their day, and we should just get out of there. That's what many of them told me. And I brought up several points to them when they said that. A couple of the people that told me that I didn't belong there on the street were young kids, obviously 18, 19 years old, and homosexual. And I had mentioned to them that I was almost 50 years old, and I had been working since I was 16, actually 15, paying taxes. And I said, I've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars of state and federal taxes. I said, probably enough to pave several streets, pay for street lights, signs, curbing, sidewalks. I said, I would doubt that the money that you've paid in federal and state taxes has paid for one or two street signs. I said, and you have the audacity to tell me and taxpayers like me who have paid for these streets that I don't have the right to be here. I said, I have every right to be here, and I am going to be here, and I don't like what you're doing here. I said, you're doing this in front of a church. It's disgusting. And not only that, I said, but the majority of Americans believe and feel the way I feel. You're not with the majority. The majority are behind me. I said, it's true that they're not here. A lot of them don't have the boldness. I said, but the majority of America don't like this, don't want this, and are disgusted by it.
Right. Anybody that wants to weigh in on this subject, you can call in at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Brian, I noticed that there were a few, like two, homosexual men that were trying to make us feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And telling me, at least my experiences that they were telling me, we're not all like this. We don't all hit. We don't all spit. You know, we just want to make sure that you're comfortable. And he was trying to make himself appealing to me. And he would come up to me and say, you need sunscreen because I have a red complexion anyway. And a little bit of sun just, I turn almost blue red. And I said, you know what? I don't need fire. I don't need sunscreen nearly as much as you need a firewall. And his name is Jesus. He's going to protect you from the fires of hell. And I would go into the gospel with him and he would just turn and walk away. Didn't want to hear. They did not want to hear about Jesus. And I think that's another thing. Jesus's name out there really upsets them.
Well, my experience was the vast majority were extremely angry, bitter, full of hate. We were told repeatedly that we should not judge. And I would engage them when they said you shouldn't judge. And I said to them, do you think that I am doing something wrong here, standing, holding a sign that said, Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe I'm doing something wrong? And they, if I could get them to stop cursing at me, they would say, yes, you're doing something wrong. And I would say, you're judging me. And I'd say, you know what? I know I'm judging you, but you're judging me as well. And they say, no, I'm not. I'm just telling you something. And I would say, you are a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite because you're judging me and you just told me it's wrong to judge. I said, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong to judge. The Bible says don't judge like the hypocrites, but judge righteously.
That's right. And we had to show that to more than one person in the Bible. We had to quote the verses to them. One of the things that I experienced when I was out there was they have no concept of what God's word says. Nothing. They think God loves everyone without repentance, regardless of sin. He doesn't care about their sin. And is that your experience?
I mean, it was just amazing, the unity of their theology. Almost unanimously, they would say the same things, like God loves us all. You're talking about Jesus or repentance is to them is hate mongering, which I couldn't understand that at all. No. When I had some civil conversations with some of them that were more, let's say, more calm and more educated, they would say, this stuff offends us. It offends us. And can't you understand how it makes us angry? And I would ask them, don't you think that we need diversity and tolerance? You know, I said, are you espousing that we should be tolerant? And they said, absolutely. And I said, so what would you say when the majority, the vast majority of people spit at us, swore at us, hit us, punched us, pushed us, heckled us, punched and spit at our women? I would say, you're telling me we need to be tolerant of you. And is that a message that you also believe for yourselves? Is that something that you need to be toward people who are different minded than yourselves? Because we're here with a message for you, but we're not spitting at you, and we're not pushing you, we're not heckling you, and we're not hitting you.
And Brian, we were offended by what they were doing.
Extremely offended.
Extremely offended, because what they were doing was just totally indecent, for one. Well, one of the times I was talking to someone, he was saying, this offends me. I said, maybe you're looking at this incorrectly. You should ask yourself, is what we're saying true? And then if it offends you, maybe your offense meter is off, you know, because if it's true, you need to think it through and figure out why you're offended. You're offended because you want to be in sin and stay in sin and nobody tell you you're in sin. So we have a couple of people on the phone. We better go to the phones. Lolita, hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I would like to see these people admit if they could prove that homosexuality was genetic, that people would be aborting those kids left and right.
Well, they said it was a proven fact that it's genetic. I heard that over and over at the parade. But we all know that that's a lie. And,
well, yeah.
And you know what? They're a little worried about that, because I've read some homosexual writers that are worried that if there is a gene, nobody should find it because they will be aborted.
Well, and then insurance companies could also turn them down.
That's true.
They're going to cost more money.
Yeah, that's true, because of AIDS.
That's right.
Thanks for calling, Lolita.
Thanks for going to the parade.
Okay.
Thank you,
Curtis,
Lolita.
From Thornton.
He's not on the phone. Curtis called in and wanted to make the point that many, many of the attendees of the homosexuals at the parade were drunk, and one of the homosexuals in our group that was heckling us and pushing and punching was arrested. And it was nice that we had about four or five police officers standing on our corner.
Well, the only reason we had those four or five police officers is because one of our men was assaulted, and I dialed 911.
Oh, okay.
And I had called the police the night before and let them know. Ken Scott and I, my husband, called the police the night before and let them know that we were going to be there. And then I tried to reach them in the morning, couldn't get through. So when the 911 call came, they came right out. Now, the one that assaulted one of our men, he got away. But a second one assaulted Ken Scott and I, and Robin, and he didn't get away.
He was arrested.
The police were there then, and the police just were on him.
They
like white on rice.
They cuffed him, and boy, was he was singing a different song. Different tune when they were cuffing him.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again. It reminded me of my little 5-year-old grandson.
Yeah. He was, and I told the officer, I said, I have pictures, because he was saying, I didn't do anything. I didn't touch anyone. And I said, I have four pictures of him pushing and punching our people here. And they said, we saw enough of this. He's getting arrested. And they did arrest him, took a statement from Joe, and they took him off. So it was a better place without him. But it was interesting. Some of them came up to me after watching people pushing at us and swearing at us and shoving us. And they came up and said, look, we're sorry for the way you're being treated here. These people are angry, but, you know, they shouldn't act this way. And we don't, you know, we're not this way. And I said, well, I said, as far as I can see, the vast majority of you are bitter, angry, and full of hate. And you're asking us to be tolerant of you, and I'm through with being tolerant. And you should take your own medicine, and you should listen to what you are preaching and follow it yourselves, because you are the biggest hypocrites that I've ever met, telling people to be tolerant and then acting this way to people who are different than yourselves.
And there, because one of our guys had a huge sign that says, "We're here because we care about you."
Yeah.
I was holding my sign, you know, my husband Ken tried to tell me to put it on a pole so I could hold it up, but I'm stubborn, so I ended up having to hold it up over my head because everything was so
high. For hours.
My arms were killing me. One young woman, she was in her teens, came and wrapped her arms around my waist, expecting me to be offended and push her away, which I like that because then they're real close and they can hear me well and I can tell them all about Jesus. So I said, "Oh, hello, how are you doing today? I suppose you want to know about Jesus," and began to give her the gospel. Her face fell, her arms fell away from my waist, and she walked away. And another one, after holding that sign forever, she was a big woman, very, very big woman. She walked back. She walked by me kind of scowling, smirking, and then she decides to come back. I didn't see her until she was right next to me. And she grabbed me like a man would, you know, on my shoulders and squeezed really, really hard on one shoulder. It felt so good. She started to walk away. I said, "Wait, do the other side." It was killing me. But she didn't do the other side. She looked at me funny and walked away. But they really expect us to feel about them the way that they feel about us. They really expect us to hate them, not want them to repent.
Yeah.
We're there because we love them. Because not so much do we, you know, love what them, but Jesus is trying to reach them, and we're the only vehicle he's got.
Yeah.
And that's why we go. And there's so many kids. They had a two-year-old. She was either between 18 months and 2 years old on one of the floats handing out condoms.
Yeah.
That was despicable.
Yeah.
And then they had what looked like a naked, from the waist up, woman on a float, but it was a man.
Well, I had a conversation with many of them, because many of them would bring up the point that this is the way God made them, and God doesn't make, God doesn't make junk, I guess, so this is the way God must have wanted them to be, and so, you know, this is the way they are. And I asked them if people who were predisposed to crimes like stealing and rape and murder and lying and kidnapping and those types of things, they said, should those people who enjoy those activities or have a predisposition to engage in those activities, should those people, would you espouse the same idea that they should, you know, this is the way that God made them and these are the activities that they therefore should engage in? I said that, you know, we all have a propensity because of our sinful flesh to sin. We all struggle with different things. And I told them, look, this is not something that I struggle with, so I don't know exactly all, you know, what you struggle with. I said, but I have sins that I struggle with, and, you know, things that I know that are wrong that I don't want to do. I said, and the Bible doesn't say, contrary to popular belief at this parade, that we need to be true to ourselves. The Bible says that we need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ.
Great point, Brian. Did they get it?
Well, one of the things that I must say is after I asked them, should we be true to ourselves? And invariably they would say, yes, we need to be true to ourselves. And I said, is that something that's in the Bible? And they say, yes, that's in the Bible. And I'd say, is that in the Bible with cleanliness is next to godliness? And they said, absolutely. That's right there with it. And I said, all right, well, neither one of those verses is found in the Bible, and neither one of those thoughts are found in the Bible. When we have something in our desire, something in our will that is sinful, we need to hammer it. We need to get rid of it. We don't need to engage it and fertilize it and feed it. We need to get rid of it.
Or give it civil rights, you know, give your lifestyle a civil right. They said 200,000 to 210,000 people there.
There was a lot of people there.
There was
a lot of people.
Very disappointing to see that many people and that many young people.
I would say it was 10,000 of them to one protester. And I would like to personally thank all the people that were there, who were holding signs, who were there helping. And I'm planning on being there next year. And I hope more people who feel strongly about this issue, whose families have been touched, I hope more people will get out there next year and will help us to reach out and tell these people that they're going straight to hell if they continue in this present lifestyle. And, you know, it was a privilege for me to be there with the soldiers, with the warriors that we were there with.
Absolutely.
It was just like going into battle. And to me, it was exciting. And, you know, it was time.
It was time well spent.
It was time well spent.
The signs were easily read from a long way off. And whenever you got a sign with God's name on it, Jesus says, you know, his word doesn't return void. And one of the things that broke my heart while I was out there was, like you said, their theology was uniform. And it's the theology that is shouted from the rooftops of rotten churches. Don't judge. God loves everyone just the way you are. And this should not be the prevalent thinking in Christianity today, but it is. We're really in need of pastors who will get out there and say, it's wrong. God loves you once you repent. You know, he says, I don't even know you if you don't obey him. You know, it's just despicable that we are allowing the Christian church to go down the wrong path. So it's great to have people like you out there, Brian, who men, real men. In fact, somebody asked me at the parade, my name. Oh, I was doing an interview with something, and I said, I'm Joe, J-O, not J-O-E. I'm a girl. I said, a real girl, by the way. Because out there, you have to, you have to clarify, you know. So it's just it's just great to have men that are willing to stand up. It was fantastic. I think we've had more guys with us this year than we've had in a very, very long time. Yeah. And it was neat to see people listening. You get a crowd around you. I'd look behind me, and there you were on the sidewalk. You had a crowd with you.
Yeah. So if you want to get to the Bema Seat and you don't want everything that you've done in this life burned, and you want to have something there that's gold, precious metals, I would strongly encourage you for next year, get in touch with Joe or Ken, get a sign in your hand and get down there and have a strong testimony against these people who desperately need Christ and need to repent.
That's right. And if you don't know how to make a sign, I'll make it for you. Yeah. I'm the sign queen. So if you need a sign, if you need directions, if you need times, you just get in touch with kgov.com and we'll give you all the information that you need to know about getting to the next Gay Pride Parade. Now, you might be saving some kids by leading them to the Lord out there from ever having to deal with AIDS or all the stuff that comes with homosexuality. It's a lifestyle that can ruin you for life. Now, don't forget this guy named Fagan, Representative Fagan from Massachusetts, who said those horrible things. Yeah, Fagan's a pagan, is right. And also, Maranatha Christian High School and Grammar School, best Christian school around. Give them a call.
Thanks for tuning in today.